Welcome to our session on Visual Studio Code. I'm Chris Reiser, and today I'm joined by Sean McRean, Principal Program Manager on Visual Studio Code.
Hi.
And Software Engineer Sofiane Hanade. How's it going, guys?
Great, great.
Happy to be here?
Really happy to be here. Really awesome. Happy to have yesterday behind us.
Yes, absolutely. So yesterday was a big day for Visual Studio Code. So it's been, over a year now? Less than a year?
Less than a year. April 28th.
April 28th. Build that
conference.
Is a short time since it was first released. So yesterday, let's go over some of the announcements. So first off, we had the beta release of Visual Studio Code. That's huge. So what does that actually entail?
What it meant is just we've reached a level of quality and functionality that we feel we can take the preview badge off and, you know, tell people to go 1 mile further with Visual Studio Code. We added a whole lot of new features. We're going to talk and demo a whole lot of them in a few minutes. But really, it's just another update for us. And we update every month, but it's a significant update.
That's right. And if anybody's been paying attention, you know, they do see that you guys do release monthly and there's some really great features every single month. So let's talk about some of the great features that we did announce yesterday. So big one, extensibility. So now we have a model where people can build out extensions. And it's not like we just said, hey, we've got an extensibility model. There are a lot of extensions available today. Can you tell us about some of them?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm going to demo a whole lot of them in a few minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, every time I go back to the gallery, I see more and more. And last count, there's about 80 in there. But probably by the time I'm up on stage, there'll be even more. So it's been great to watch that evolve.
Yeah, it was funny because after, you know, the Connect event yesterday, I was very excited to find out about the extensibility, but then I just kept seeing tweet after tweet of, hey, I just added this extension, or I just released this extension. It was just never ending.
Yeah, we worked with a small group of people who had done extensions for things like Atom or Sublime, or who had registered some interest in building extensions and helped them along, and they gave us feedback on our API so that when we launched the API and the SDK, we also launched a gallery and also had a seeded gallery with 60 extensions in it. Some pretty advanced ones.
Absolutely. And speaking of that gallery, so now it's something that's available within the application. So right from VS Code, you can start installing extensions. And there's also a web gallery that you can go to view the different extensions if you don't
Absolutely.
Know what's available.
People can really look through the web gallery, find out what an extension does, some of the features and functions, and basically in the README file for the extension, and then they can go straight into Visual Studio Code and just install them, and I'll show you that workflow in a few minutes.
Awesome. And then I think one of the other big ones, I mean, all of these are big announcements, but another one is that we open source Visual Studio Code.
Doesn't get much bigger.
That had to be a pretty awesome moment when you went from, you know, just, you know, flipping the switch and saying, here it is, open to the world.
Yeah, I mean, we've been really excited about this. We've been working with, as Sean say, a bunch of extension builders, and we're really excited to get it out there. And let me tell you, the first day was pretty amazing. We got our first pull request just yesterday approved, and we're getting a lot of issues. We're interacting with the community. People are excited about it. It's very exciting time to be part of this team.
That's great. And it was actually, you know, one of the other things you saw yesterday wasn't really necessarily an announcement for VS Code, more of validation of how awesome it was. But, you know, there was a demo for Angular of, you know, Google actually, you know, using that to do their Angular development. That's fantastic.
Code, TypeScript, and Angular.
Yeah.
We're a little tight team.
Absolutely. So are there any other big announcements from yesterday that we've missed so far?
Oh, I mean, those ones in the gallery are the big ones. But, you know, we released extra features inside Visual Studio Code, improved debugging support, improved node support. You know, there was a whole raft of things. But clearly the big news of the day was open sourcing the product itself and the extensions. And one of the main reasons we wanted to open source code was so that people could see how we wrote code itself and build extensions based upon those. And that's how you see some of these great rich extensions that are out there today, like the Go language extension or PowerShell. Those are really modeled after what we've done ourselves for TypeScript or for OmniSharp support.
Great, very cool. So I think now we're going to switch over to that demo. So
All right.
I'm going to go ahead up there, and we're going
Sounds
to see some really great extension use inside of Visual Studio Code, how that works. And it's going to be great. So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Okay. So here I am in Mac OS X. And this is our website. We mentioned one of the little updates we did to the website just while I'm here is we have this ability to fork Visual Studio Code, go straight to our open source repository. So that's where you can find out everything that's happening in the code and watch it evolve. We also updated the website with a summary of everything that's in the release. So we were just talking about a number of those features. And probably the other thing that will matter for anyone who's interested in what I'm about to show you is we added in a whole lot of SDK examples and documentation around building extensions for Visual Studio Code. So why don't I get off the website and start building and looking at some extensions? Okay, so what I want to do here is just get a folder up here. And I've got a demo folder, and one of the things that's fun with Visual Studio Code is code dot opens code in the context of the current folder. And here I have a simple markdown file, and you know, there's a lot of extensions that came out. I haven't been able to remember them all off by heart. So I've got some notes here for myself, and it might be easier to view these notes if I just quickly put this into preview mode. Aside, one of the features people really like in Visual Studio Code is things like markdown editing and preview. And so this is the live preview, and you can see it becomes a lot easier to use Visual Studio Code this way. So, okay, so the first thing I might just show you is the integrated extension gallery. And one of the things that people really like adding in with as extensions are themes. We added support for themes, and all you have to do is push F1, type in extension, XT, install extension, hit return, and what this does is it queries a shared marketplace between ourselves and Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online. And I'm after some themes, so I can just refine this list and choose a couple of themes. Certainly the one, there's even more in here since I looked earlier, the one that people seem to be liking a lot is this material theme. I can hit read me here, and that'll open up in the marketplace. You can see, you know, 1,300 odd people have installed that. Let me go ahead and install that. So just back in focus here. Extension install, theme, material. And I can just simply click this little download button. It's already downloaded. As soon as I bring back to focus, I can restart and that theme will load in. And you'll see it's actually already adopted that theme here. And that's one of the interesting things. The themes work for all the languages inside our Visual Studio Code. And we have a live preview of themes. So anyone who's interested in themes, you hit F1, type in themes, color preferences for that theme, and you can real-time preview through them. That material theme I installed is actually three themes, Material Knight 80s, Material Knight, and Material. Let's stick with Monokai, actually, one of the most favorite themes that comes out of the box. So I just hit return, and now I'm back in Visual Studio. So what I just showed you was the web marketplace and the integrated gallery as well, where it's really, really easy to quickly install a theme to Visual Studio Code. Okay, so we've got a markdown file here, but other files are out there as well as markup, and one of them is something called LaTeX. And really, LaTeX is just another way to express through text the formatting of a doc, but we don't have any support for LaTeX out of the box. You can see it's registering as plain text, even though we have a lot of languages that we support inside Visual Studio Code. You can see a list there. LaTeX is not one of them. But again, I can just go extension. I keep on typing in the wrong thing. Install, and I can type in LaTeX. And what it'll do, it'll come up and show, there's LaTeX language support. And I can very quickly install that. Restart the window, and boom, I now have a colorized LaTeX file. And it's more than that as well. You can even do things like snippets, and I'm going to come back to snippets in a few minutes. But it's really now easy to add an extra colorizer and snippets into Visual Studio Code. And it's incredible, actually, what's been happening out there in the community. If I just hit the marketplace, we were talking earlier about how many extensions had been launched since we started. I'm now just going to go into Visual Studio Code, and one of the categories is languages, and I'm going to see all the languages, and you can see in here that there's a huge number of languages. The Facebook team put Flow language support in just overnight. I'm going to demo another set of these, but really there are a lot of languages now that we don't ship out of the box. We already shipped 35, 40 languages. Here's another 40 or so that you can just easily add into Visual Studio Code. Okay, so languages are based on TextMate bundles, and so are the snippets. So anyone who wants to go and add a language, it's a simple task of just wrapping those up and putting them into the gallery. So let's go on to another quick demo. We have some nice markdown facilities inside Visual Studio Code, but let's see if the marketplace and extensions can improve my markdown experience. So I'm going to, again, just extension install. You're going to see me do this a lot in this demo. And this time I'm after some markdown support. So I can just type in markdown. And, there's a few things that might help me. A link checker. Often you have links inside markdown docs. You want to make sure they're valid, 404 or error links. There's something called markdown tools. There's a spelling and grammar checker, which I wrote, which I really need, you'll see. There's even a special set of markdown themes and a word count example. So I can just install all of those, and that's how easy it is to install a broad set of themes. Instantly restart, and you see that the code editor is still incredibly performant. Even though I'm starting to add in a lot of extensions now, what we do is we run them all out of process. And you can see that now my markdown has actually got spell checking happening. And in here, you can navigate through the code with things like F8, and you can actually check through all of these errors. So one of the things that the spelling spell checker extension does is it just focuses on checking spelling mistakes and grammatical errors, and all of the UI elements like this F8 functionality or the gutter warnings that you can see over here or the error list are all common UI metaphors that we have inside Visual Studio Code. So at the moment it's saying suggest VS Code. One of the things I can do is it has support for a settings file. I just conveniently had it named the wrong thing over here. If I now reload this window with that setting file active, that setting file includes a set of things like words to ignore. And you can see VS Code is now no longer picked up. It's just a simple list. And it gives you an idea of how powerful the extensions can be inside Visual Studio Code. Now you can really quickly add additional functionality. So let's go and have a look at a few of these other things. Word count. Well, so one of the things that may or may not have been obvious is this little indicator in the bottom here of word counts. And as I add to this, the count will. And you'll see my spell checking as I go along as well. And in fact, I can quickly go and even just suggest a correction to that. So the word count was changing as I did that. Again, just an example of how easy it is to extend the code. The link checker I mentioned, let's see if I've got enough real estate here, a simple Alt-L, and what's happening is it's parsing out all the links inside the doc, and it's making sure that they all work. A really useful tool for someone who's writing a lot of markdown or documentation. And then I mentioned this thing called markdown tools. Again, extensions can be triggered in all sorts of ways, and this one is triggered with an Alt-T. And there's a whole lot of common string formatting functions here. In Markdown, you'll see that there's some HTML I just highlighted. That's actually not so great to be in my Markdown, especially since I want that to render as HTML. And in fact, if I bring up the preview window beside this, another way to do that is you can just literally split window and push preview. You'll see that when I'm looking at the text there, you don't actually see the HTML that's included. So this is the core text here. So I actually want this to be HTML. I'm going to go Alt-T, and I'm going to say escape that as HTML. And now what it's done is it's escaped out the text, and now you can see the HTML there. So just another sort of set of useful tools. And my final one, very gratuitously, that I'll show you in this same suite, is if I do an Alt-T, it has a dependency on a package called Figlet, which enables ASCII art. And there's a little movie out there that I'm sure most of us are going to watch. And the Star Wars font is right there, and boom, I can update my font straight in line. All right. So all of our extensions are actually over in GitHub, and you can quickly look at the code itself, like the MD tools, word count, or spell checker, and model your own extensions after them. So Markdown, yeah, sure, that's great, but this is a code editor. So let's start talking more about code. So one of the extensions that people are incredibly passionate about is the F# support that we just added to Visual Studio Code. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open an F# file. And I've already installed both the F# tools and the F# extension on this machine. And now what I can do is just simple things like I can do an Alt-Enter, and I've got this interactive experience over here, and straight away you'll see that evaluated on the right-hand side of my window. Again, let's do it again. I'll do an Alt-Enter, and the context was kept. Again, immediate evaluation. Things like IntelliSense are also fully supported in this extension, and hovers. So it's a very rich set of features that we didn't ship any of this inside the box. So you can even go all the way through to debugging your F# code now with Visual Studio Code. All right, I better correct that code that I just broke. So F#, that's one of several extensions actually for F#. There's support for the F# make system and package management system, all from the Ironhide team. Okay, let me now jump into another language. And for this one, I'm going to take a different window. So Go is one of the other languages that we announced support for with Visual Studio Code. Now, again, if I just go, I've got a sample here for Go. And in here, let me just clean up my windows a little bit. Boom and boom. Here I have a Go program. But my experience in Go is nothing more than colorizing, really what you saw with LaTeX before. And I don't have any IntelliSense. I don't have anything like hovers or peaks. Even though this breakpoint is set, I have no support for debugging here in Go. So now, again, I'm just going to install an extension. You know, the Go extension itself is not a huge number of lines of code, but the amount of functionality that it adds to Visual Studio is quite staggering. So straight away, see how fast it is to add a brand new language to Visual Studio code. Now, you might not notice anything immediately, but let's start looking at some of the richer features that have been added. I can now start to get hovers straight across these variables here. If I hold down the command key, I can peek. I can also directly navigate to that chunk of code. And what you're seeing is actually a lot of the standard user experience metaphors that we have inside Visual Studio Code for JavaScript and TypeScript applied to the Go programming language. And really, it's a very rich experience. I can even type in at here in the command palette, and I can get outlining of the whole code base and quickly navigate through the code. Debugging is supported, and all the things that you hope in editing. Valid. So now you can see I'm starting to get IntelliSense. There's a lot of these fine string submatches. So I want fine string submatch, not fine string all submatch. And what I can now do is keep on just filling this out, and IntelliSense will help me all the way through. So that's great. So do that. Ah, but I've got a red squiggly. You could probably guess that line above. This expects a string. Okay, well, let's look through. And again, you can see a number of these that output strings, and path is the one I want. So IntelliSense working brilliantly for the Go language. As I mentioned, I can now hit F5, and I will get a debug experience for Go as well. All right, so that's the Go demo. Let's keep on working through things. So another thing that people are really excited about and that we didn't really conceive of for Visual Studio Code is some of the DevOps technologies that are out there. And Chef is one of those. So let's quickly fire up code. And I have a Chef file. Oh, you can see that there shouldn't be any smoke and mirrors here. So I'm going to go extensions, show installed extensions. And I forgot to uninstall the Chef extension for this demo. So now, through the magic of how easy it is to uninstall and reinstall, I have a Chef file here. It's a Ruby file. We have basic Ruby colorization, but we have no semantic understanding of Chef files themselves. And it turns out that, as you might guess, this file has some errors, especially if you just looked at what I showed you a few moments ago. I can hit F1. I'm going to go extension, install extension. And I'm going to type in Chef. I'm going to pull that down, install, restart. And now, straight away, you see some hints and errors that are in here. And on top of that, it even added in some snippets as well. So it shows you can bundle all these things up to do more and more deeper support inside the product. Snippet support here, Apache 2. Okay, so let's see what was wrong with this. Again, all the standard metaphors of code work. I can F8 through these errors, these squigglies, and it's telling me what's wrong with each one. Okay, I prefer single quoted strings. It's even telling me how to fix this. So let's go and follow what it's saying. Okay, the squiggles disappeared. All right, bad name definition. I just so happen to know that it's quite fussy about how to change names. Okay, this end has got a space there. Okay, let's fix that. And at the end of one of these files, you need a blank line. And straight away, I can remove all those errors. And now if I go F8, it's telling me about an extra blank line, an error I hadn't seen, and I can fix that up as well. So easy to add additional support into code, even for things like Chef with real-time linting and error detection. It's really fun. So that's some example extensions in use. I've got a few more moments. I want to actually show you how we can build an extension. So one of the things we worked hard to do was to make it really easy to build an extension for Visual Studio Code. And we use Yeoman as our file new project scenario, and we have Yo Code. And I'm going to say a new TypeScript extension. I'm going to say Channel 9 Demo is the name of it. This is a short description. I'm going to publish it under my name. I won't bother with a Git repo for it this time. And so that quickly scaffolds out all the things that you need to make extension development really easy. Puts the SDK and the API in there, makes all the settings for compilation and debugging work. So now I change into that directory, the familiar code full stop, and we describe everything that was done in the creation of this blank extension on our website. There's a lot of empty files to start with. But this extension is a very, very simple TypeScript extension. So if I go in the source folder, there's extension TS, and really what it's doing is it has a say hello command that runs, and that say hello outputs an information message. So let's see what it would be like to run an extension like this. Well, F5. And so what's happening here is I've now got a new instance of Visual Studio Code running. It's the extension development host. You can see it's got a slightly different border color at the bottom and a different header at the top. And what I can do here is I can run that command. So if I just go and open the command palette, say hello, sorry. If I remembered what it said, that would make things like a life a lot easier. And that will output the message, hello world. Okay, so that's how easy it is to run an extension. How about debugging an extension? So I'm gonna hit a breakpoint there. All I'm gonna do again is I'm gonna hit F5, that extension development host comes up, and straight away when I run that command, this time I'll get it right, F1, you'll notice it's hit the breakpoint. And we have a really rich debugging experience. Straight away you can see hovers here, you can evaluate things in the eval window over here for local variables, etc. It's really, really a rich experience for developing an extension. So I'm going to change this. So let's just stop that. Hello. Hello, channel 9. Very complicated extension edit here. Again, let's do a quick run, drop. I'm just going to go and take that breakpoint off so you know this is not smoke and mirrors, and I can now run it. Hello, channel 9. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to complete the cycle here. Let's close that window, and we've got a tool, VSCE publish. Oops, I've got to put focus on that. VSCE, which is our publishing tool. And if I just hit VSCE and publish, you'll see it's executing publishing. And now, if I was to go to our gallery and choose the other category, because I didn't mark it up, which happens to be a big category, you're going to see an extension right there that I just created and installed. And just to show that this is a real thing, let's go back to the demo folder I had. And remember this, if I go command palette and type in hello, nothing will match. Okay, well let's fix that. I can install the extension, I can ask for channel 9, I can install that, restart. Anyone who's watching this live, you can also install that for about 5 more seconds, because then I'm gonna take it down. And there you go, hello world, and it's hello channel 9. And again, just to prove that there's absolutely no smoke and mirrors here, let's go back to here and do what I should do. Unpublish. This will delete it forever. I'm pretty sure that's not the most valuable extension that we have in the gallery. And if I'm to refresh this page as well, it's going to disappear off the list. So, you know, the extension development experience is very, very, very simple and yet very powerful. You can add full language support and full end-to-end support for everything. And as you browse through the gallery, you'll see tons of common extensions. Pointing out a few that are fun, open GitHub directly from within a project allows you just to go straight to its repo. Bookmarks allows you to annotate your code and you can quickly navigate across it. Encode Decode allows you to convert strings and text into other formats. Travis CI status, pretty self-explanatory, that adds an addendum to the status bar. One of the other ones that's quite cool that you may have noticed as I was running was there's something in the bottom of my, there's been something in the bottom of my window called Waka Time. So I'm going to have a look at Waka Time. Waka Time is a Fitbit for developers, they like to call themselves, and there's a dashboard for my account that just shows you what I've been doing recently. You can see that I've been working in a lot of Markdown files, a lot of JSON files as I got things ready for the gallery. I didn't do a lot yesterday. That's primarily because I was making sure everything was ready for the launch rather than writing code. And you can really get an analysis of what you're doing inside all your projects. You can navigate inside them and again, see what it relates back to the work that you've been doing in a repository, etc. So just another example of a great extension for Visual Studio Code. So, if I head back into my README, I'm pretty much now at the end of my demo script. And the one thing I thought would be fun to show you is two other things. Well, I showed generating an extension from the command line with Yo code. I thought one other extension I should have mentioned was the fact that we have a Yeoman extension that's in the gallery. Not quite as easy to search for. It's going to be at the very bottom of this list. So that's coming down, installing. And what this allows you to do is gives you the file new project experience in Visual Studio Code itself. So instead of the process you saw before, I can now type in Yo. And here it's saying, oh, Yo code. OK, what type of extension do you want? I want a TypeScript extension. Foo, bar, and you just prompt your way through, say no to that. And there you go. It's created that same folder, file new project added to Visual Studio Code. So the last thing is I'll give you one other little tip. We have a roadmap that we've published up on our repository. So if you want to know what's happening next, just a little pump, make sure you go and check our website, but also check things like the roadmap that's in the VS Code wiki. All right,
great.
That's me done.
Thanks, Sean. That's a very extensive demo of some really cool features. I think my favorite part might have been the meta-ness of creating an extension in VS Code and then actually, you know, editing it, launching it, and releasing it so quickly. So very cool stuff. So we're going to go ahead and switch over to Q&A now. And if you're watching live, you can either ask questions via the channel and website, or you can also tweet at hashtag Connect2015, and we will hopefully get to those questions. So let's go ahead and jump into the first one. What does Visual Studio Code have in common with Atom?
So Visual Studio Code has a lot in common with Atom, but also a lot that's not in common with Atom. People get confused that we're actually a fork or a derivation of Atom. We're not. The thing that we have in common with Atom is this underlying technology called the Electron Shell. That Electron Shell allows Visual Studio Code to run on Linux, Mac, and Windows, and it hosts our Node.js app. Visual Studio is a TypeScript-based HTML CSS application, and it runs inside this hosted shell. That hosted shell is used by Atom as well. It's also used by Slack. It's also used by the new Cloud Storage Explorer that we launched. So that is 100% in common, and we've been working with them to improve that experience for everyone. There's a couple other things that are common as well, like a lot of the underlying modules that you use are common across extensions. So I showed you the ability to create ASCII art when I did the Star Wars font. Mm-hmm. That's just an underlying node module. If you were writing an extension for Atom, you'd use the same node module, Figlet. And in fact, that used to be one of their examples as well. But where we start to diverge and differ is our core editor is our editor. It's the battle-hardened Monaco editor that you find all over the place. OneDrive, Visual Studio, Visual Studio Team Services.
Right. Yep.
We had to fix that up. The Monaco editor itself, the F12 tools in IE are all versions of our editor. And so that's been around for a long time, and it almost shares nothing in common. Well, shares nothing in common with the Atom experience. The other place that we differ is all of our extensions. You saw I installed over 20 extensions by the time I'd finished there. They all run out of process for us. So your editing experience and your startup time is never compromised by the extensions. You know, if you've got a badly behaving extension, the editor will still make sure that you can edit and work just as you expect. That's different because Atom loads all of their extensions in process. And the technologies you use to write our extensions is another point of difference. They use CoffeeScript, and we use TypeScript or JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're both editors. If you look and squint, they can look very similar, but under the covers, there's a lot of differences. The good news is I think the things that are really important for consistency are consistent, like the shell itself and the underlying use of things like node modules.
Okay, great. Yeah. Do you guys have an idea about how many installs of Visual Studio Code we've got, and what's kind of the general feedback been?
We've got over 1 million so far.
Fantastic.
And we've been getting a lot of excitement, a lot of love, you know, and this has been like great for the team. Basically, with the open source, with the extension, we've heard from so many people in the last day or so that that's exactly what we've been looking for. And it's been one of, extension at least, has been one of the most voted user voice asked by the audience. So so we're really excited.
Actually, speaking of user voice, one of the fun things I got to do yesterday as the keynote was going on was close a whole lot of user voice items. And I closed 25,000 votes I freed up in what we shipped yesterday, which is quite a lot for us.
That's very nice.
A lot of the top items.
So speaking of user voice and kind of people requesting things, what's next for Visual Studio Code?
Oh, you know, I love to answer this in two ways. I mean, in part, we'll be heavily influenced by what the people who extend Visual Studio Code and contribute to us, that'll impact it. But if you look directly from a product team perspective, the things that we're going to focus on, we're missing a number of sort of core features that we think we need inside the editor before we can reach general availability. Well, one of the most popular ones that people ask about is code folding. We are going to add code folding. One of my favorite tweets of all time was, Sean McBreen, stop adding everything that we don't need except for code folding.
Yeah, it's his
in
fault.
All caps. Other thing is a horizontal window split. Don't have that. Additional APIs for extenders. Improved accessibility support. It's actually one of the things that we've been working on with the Atom and GitHub team is improving accessibility support on Windows for the Electron shell. So that just a selection of things, and as I say, we've got a roadmap with some more sort of detailed things. Improved JavaScript, JSX support, JavaScript React support, mixed mode support, improving that so that you can embed different languages inside a single language. Think like Razor syntax. So we've got a whole host of things that we want to work through, and you know, every month we'll just keep on chipping away at that list.
Great. And so one of the questions is, what sort of extensions can you build for Visual Studio Code? And it seems like from what we saw, you can build themes, you can build kind of tools that will run internally, such as, you know, the word count or the 404 checker. You can add support for new languages. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that you can build?
Yeah, there's, so basically besides the things that you said, there's, you can also add debugging support. And I think we have a couple extensions right now in the marketplace, one for Go, and one for Chrome debuggers, where you can actually have that UI debugging experience from within Visual Studio Code. But the way that we look at it is like there's multiple levels of extensions that you can build. So for things like basic language support and theming, we actually provide a very easy way with the Yeoman generator, where you can get started and really go grab a theme from a TextMate bundle, or grab your, you know, basic language colorization. And then, as you were saying, you can incrementally start adding and going into more advanced ones. So you can add the little commands that integrate with your command line tooling, all the way to actually providing full end-to-end language support, where you can have all the good stuff that we saw there, IntelliSense and go to definition and all these rich language supports in addition to debugging.
Right. Okay. And it sounds like adding the full language support is probably the most complex thing, because there's a lot of
But the nice thing is you can build your way into it, right? So you can get, and depends on how the level of detail you want to get into it. So it's
okay.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, and even the product itself has a number of extensibility points inherently built into it. The task management system is one of those. So I showed the LaTeX example. One thing that someone instantly sort of said on Hacker News when it was mentioned was, it would be great if I had a compiler for this. And someone just responded, well, here's the task that you need to run the LaTeX compiler and view it. And so that's another point of extensibility, if you like, for Visual Studio Code, that it can be inserted into a broader chain of tools. We call that, what you saw that I was demoing, is really programmatic extensibility. All this other stuff is other ways to extend and enhance, let's say, the task management system. So you really can do almost anything that we've done in the product itself is now exposed to users to extend.
Very cool. So one of the questions is, why did you open source Visual Studio Code? And I think from some of the things we've seen in the past, are people are worried that, you know, we're open sourcing it so that we can just say, hey, community, it's on you now. But it certainly doesn't sound like we're, you know, not going to continue to work on it. And you've got some serious plans for down the road.
Yeah. No, we've got great things that we want to do. Look, the truth is, if you want to have a really great extensibility story top to bottom, we felt that it was important that the community could see how we built the code ourselves. That was one of the big reasons to open source it. So if you want to see how we've implemented our TypeScript support or our OmniSharp support or any of the extensions for the other languages that are inside Visual Studio Code, you can see it in the code base. And you can learn from that and adapt to it. What's more is that, and as you're building your own extension, you can debug right through code as well, debug with code.
Yes.
So it just allows the community to be far more engaged. Now, on top of that, we really imagined code as an editor for everyone. You know, we're trying to meet everyone on every platform that they operate on, and we want it to work with every language. Developers work in such a broad array of languages today. And so making sure that the code base was open source allows people to start contributing to it and be part of really where code's going to go in the future.
Great.
We also like the fact that we get closer to the community, right? As a developer, you know, I can see those bugs coming in on GitHub and react onto them pretty fast. And there's a lot of goodness that we already, with less than 24 hours of opening source VS Code, that we started seeing. And that's actually make us feel like we're closer to our customer. And it's a win-win scenario. They can contribute, and they can feel that their voice is actually, you know, making a difference, which is what's been happening.
Great. That's good to hear. So I know you mentioned a few of the key combinations, but one of the questions out there is there strong support for keyboard shortcuts, and can you add your own or modify those?
There's always customization. So there is when that's, I guess, one part of what Sean was referring to as non-programming extensibility points for VS Code is like you always can go and change some of the keyboard extensions that you have and mix and match. Yeah.
I mean, in the actual product itself, if you go File Preferences, Keyboard Shortcuts, it'll open up a JSON file that lists all of the keyboard shortcuts, and you can party on them. You can change them to whatever you want. If you don't like the Markdown Preview keyboard shortcut I used or how we've implemented the keyboard shortcuts for multi-cursor or any of those things, you can just redefine them. And, you know, we make sure that it's really easy to do. On top of it, you can add your own keyboard shortcuts for your own commands, like I showed you in Markdown Tools and everything. So, yep, it's definitely right for that. One place that we know we need to get better in is Vim-style keyboard shortcut support, and that's also in our roadmap.
Okay, great. Yeah. So another question out there is, will Visual Studio Code have support for large files? I use a different editor right now, but I'd love to use Visual Studio Code. Will we get support for those huge size files?
We support pretty big files, but we have put a limit on it. And transparently, it's just an arbitrary limit that we chose, because it's not something we're really optimizing Visual Studio Code for. It's really working with large files. From memory, I think it might be 30 megabytes. I don't know if you can remember. But it's huge.
So
but it's not big enough for every log file out there. And some text editors, and Sublime is probably the most popular one, really support even larger files. It's something that we could work on, but it's not the thing we focused on. And as I say, you'll see a little warning if it's too crazy big, but you got a lot of headroom. Your code's not going to get there.
It sounds like if you really wanted to, you could go get the source code and just change that arbitrary limit yourself and run the version. I mean, who knows what might happen, but you could always do that.
It's certainly a possibility. Yep.
Great. So another question. Does VS Code utilize Roslyn at all?
Under the covers, absolutely. We use Roslyn for a lot of our smarts in the language services that we have. The sort of design of Visual Studio Code is so that it can build on top of these language services, TypeScript, Roslyn, OmniSharp, and they provide all the services like IntelliSense and refactoring. So yes, it does. And we keep on bringing more and more of those features into there. And even if I take the example of both F-Sharp and Go, they use similar experiences as well. Go uses a whole lot of command line tools. F-Sharp uses the F-Sharp SDK. So that's sort of our relationship. I don't know if you want to...
I mean, it's OmniSharp. Basically, we work on the level with OmniSharp, which is a kind of a cross-editor project to bring, you know, good support for .NET and cross-platform. So that's the project that we work with and we use for C-Sharp support and VS Code.
Okay, great. So is there an extension right now, or could someone go build one for Team Foundation Server?
Oh, well, I'd have to look.
There might be by the time we're done with this session.
It's actually something that we need to do some more work around, some extensions for Team Foundation Server, so or Visual Studio Team Services. So no, there's nothing that's really native to that scenario. There's lots of opportunities, obviously, like there's a Travis CI monitor out there that would be easy to do that for the build system and VSTS. But probably the most tight integration that we have is just through pure Git support. Mm-hmm. So obviously both Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services support Git. And for the longest time, in fact, until yesterday formally, we were writing all of our code using what was Visual Studio Online and VS Code. So they work great together. We were building our cross-platform builds in the cloud with VSO and a Mac build machine. So yeah, they really partner well together. But yeah, there's certainly opportunities for better extensions and more alignment.
Okay, great. Are there any plans to add test-driven development support into VS Code?
I mean, there's ways to integrate, again, with the task runners. That's how we do it right now, is there's ways to go and run your unit test from within via VS Code. And there's even ways to go and debug your tests and debug your gulp tests. So it really is up to you how you want to use it. But that's definitely been part of what we're doing right now with Visual Studio Code.
I know one extension that's very close to shipping that we're working with the team is the Wallaby.js extension, which is really great for things like test-driven development. I would have loved to demo it right now. But that does a whole lot of things to annotate the gutter and provide you through, you know, the immediate window feedback of your tests and how they're working. And that will really bring a lot of the sort of core test-driven development features directly into the editor as well. So that'll be an exciting extension that, you know, I know the guys are working on me in the gallery soon.
Right. All right, so I think this is a really good question from Juan, and it kind of touches on the design principles of VS Code, but how much do you think you'll add to Visual Studio Code over time? Do you anticipate it becoming a full-blown IDE, or do you stick it as a, you know, kind of the code editor it is?
We really think of Visual Studio Code as more down the editor end of the spectrum. We want to make sure that it's fantastic for the core inner loop of development. That's your coding, debug, test cycle. But we really want to work with a broader set of tools in your tool chain for the broader experiences. My favorite example on this slide is talking about Unity development with Visual Studio Code. One of the members of the community built an extension for Unity that bridges between Unity and Visual Studio Code. The details are on our website. If you're a Unity dev, go and try it out. Docs, runtimes, Unity. You install this extension within your Unity project, and what it does is anytime you open a Unity code file, all your design experience remains in Unity for things like your shaders, your scenes, etc. But as soon as you want to drop into code, you just double-click your code file or the error number that's showing up in Unity as you run it, and it will drop straight into Visual Studio Code at that point. You can even debug or listen to the debug channel. And so we become this great sort of companion between both Unity and ourselves, where there's a separation of concerns. You do the design and game experience work in the Unity toolset, and you write your code and debug in Visual Studio Code. And so we see that as the path for lots of integrations with Visual Studio Code. Another example would be the Azure Cloud Explorer, the Storage Explorer. You can work with your storage accounts in that beside Visual Studio Code and happily do the development part of it in Visual Studio Code. So we don't see ourselves sort of plugging all these different windows and everything into Visual Studio Code. We really want to keep it as an incredibly functional and performant lightweight editor. 60 meg, download it from the website in a few seconds. That's not really opinionated about how it slips into your broader tool chain and can be almost compatible with the way that you want to work and using anything.
Okay, great. So another question, are all the extensions currently free? And is there plans for that gallery to have some sort of a charging type feature?
Sure. Well, the gallery underlying is a shared gallery between ourselves and, in particular, Visual Studio Team Services. And they already have paid extensions in there. So, yeah, you know that you have the ability to buy extensions. At the moment, we have no extensions that are paid, and it's not a feature that we've really opened up. Most of our competitors don't support that scenario either. But never say never. The underlying technology is there. But at the moment, we've got an open source product, a free product, and free extensions, and that's sort of how the community's rallying around Visual Studio Code.
Okay, great. So Christopher says, loves the inclusion of TM theme support for syntax highlighting. Is there any plans or roadmap for UI themes?
So the shortest answer to that is no. What do I mean by that? So just to play that back, so the TextMate support that we have today really focuses on the inner window, the actual code editing window, the syntax highlighting, things like that. And so when you're moving through themes, some of the things that don't change, that other editors do support changing, Atom and Sublime being the best examples, are things like the icons in your folder structure or the font that's used in the broader outerlying shell. We don't offer the ability to customize those things. And the reason it's the shortest answer is because one of the things we're trying to hold near and dear to us inside Visual Studio Code is this common user experience metaphor. One of the things we don't allow for extensibility is non-controlled UI extensibility. So as an example, when I was doing those demos, there was the word count demo, and it contributed to the status bar. And we use an icon set, that's how I got the little pencil that the user can use. But there's no way that's a defined contribution point to the user experience. Or when I had a spell checking, I was hitting F8 and going through the errors and the little windows were coming up. Again, a defined contribution point. So at that point, all I had to do was pass the string in and it rendered exactly as I expected it. So customizing the UI is something that we're trying to hold back on. So that we can sort of have this consistency for the user across all the extensions.
Mm-hmm.
You hope to learn how to use the product once. So I think the shortest answer is no. Now, all that said, I said the shortest answer was no. I bet you we do open up some UI extensibility for things like improved shell theming over time, but today we don't support that.
Okay, great. So the next two questions are, I think, examples of ones where you can say, well, you could always do it with an extension, or maybe there's plans for your team to do it themselves, but is there any plans for support for C++ or SQL code?
So in both cases, we have colorization, we're working with both of those teams internally to see if they want to enhance more of Visual Studio Code. So I think that I don't have anything to announce or go down, but it would be great to have improved C++ support and SQL support. Leave it there. And those teams are really interested in working with us, but we've got nothing to share at the moment. Clearly an opportunity for the community to contribute those extensions, and there's things like CMake support and everything out there today already.
Right, and I think that's one of the really great things about what we've announced with VS Code is that, you know, hey, we don't have it today, but you could go build that right now.
Look at the PowerShell stuff we added yesterday.
Absolutely. Or I think you said there was a team that just added something for their language like last night after we announced
it. Yep. Oh, there was another... I think about 20 languages have been added since we announced
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. So one question from Carl is, should I stay with Visual Studio or move to Visual Studio Code? I've already seen some features that aren't actually as accessible in Visual Studio, but they are in Code.
So like this is one of those questions that we always get. We always think that Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code are complementary products, right? They don't compete over the same thing. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the scenario and really depends on your development workflow. If you want more of the integrated experience, the full end-to-end that have everything within the same product, Visual Studio is the tool that you should go for. If your development workflow requires working with different command line tools, if you want to plug and play the tools that works best for you, then maybe Code will be a better choice for you. It's definitely not a question of either or. It's a question of what you're doing and what you're most comfortable with. So if something works better in Visual Studio, go ahead and use Visual Studio. If Visual Studio Code make your life easier for opening a small file or doing something like that, then you know, like use Code. We're definitely not competing over the same audience here.
Okay, great. So one question is Visual Studio Code secure enough to run in production environments like production servers? Like, is there any reason you wouldn't, you know, want to use that?
We build code with Code. The underlying editor, as I mentioned, is shipped inside every version of Internet Explorer, Edge, IE11. So it's pretty robust. Really, the annotation that we have of preview and beta is more about us maturing the core feature set till we feel great about it. But by all means, I mean, everything that we're doing, we hope, is a production quality. And we do all of our own work in Visual Studio Code. And you know, you heard the Angular team, they do it as well. There's no risks.
It's one thing that I think Eric touched on yesterday is that it's true we shipped in April, but this team and what we've been working on has been going on for 4 years in Microsoft. And we've had a lot of internal partners within Azure, within IE, that we actually got time to work on this product and dog food it day in and day out. So we really feel good about this, although that Visual Studio Code, as we know it, has been out for a very short amount of time. This team and the technologies that we've been working on, it's been around for quite some time.
Great. So this one is for me, after yesterday, it's kind of easy, but what would you guys say are your favorite features of Visual Studio Code?
Well, for me at the moment, extensibility. Debugging. Debugging's got to be the best feature. I mean, it just makes writing code so much easier. It's you're a caveman, you know, making fire with sticks and stones sort of thing without a debugger. It's really hard to imagine how productive code editing is without a debugger.
Sure.
Yeah, as a node developer, it's definitely also debugging, right? But it's also this combination of being able to work on a lightweight editor that is fast and easy to work with, get this really good semantic features and IntelliSense and final references and all that within TypeScript and go all the way to debugging. So it's really a combination between a lightweight editor and between powerful, you know, developer services.
Great. So since you both said debugging, I got to pick on it. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into that, but without going too deep, because I imagine that might take a while, can you talk to you a little bit about if somebody wants to add debugging support for a new language, what does that really entail?
We have a defined protocol for debugging. So, you know, the key thing is debuggers are out there for all languages already today. For instance, the Go extension uses the Delve debugger. Mm-hmm. And what you really do is you just facade up the output of that debugger and map it into our protocol format. So you're talking a very small number of configuration lines, and that it effectively brings the information from the debugger into Visual Studio Code. And then at that point, because it's this defined contribution point, everything just starts lighting up. You know, breakpoints are passed back and forth between it. You know, when you're stepping through code, we know what happens. We can evaluate and watch. You have to do the linkages for all of these things, but that's really how you bring it in. We don't make you rewrite your debuggers in JavaScript or TypeScript or something like that. That would be insane. All you really need to do is just plumb them into our system. So they are just the external entity, the ones that are out there. And that's, you know, you're asking about support for a couple other languages. You can imagine it's just this little bit of bridging code that's required. We've done all the UI code already for you. You just have to have this mapping and bridging code. We're talking about debuggers here, but another place that it's really common for people is linting, which is the sort of correction as you type. Mm-hmm. It's the same deal. Like the spell checker is just, it passes some diagnostics back as you type. So all the libraries that are out there for linting, another category that's exploding in the gallery, are easy to plug in. We're talking 20 lines of code into Visual Studio Code with an existing linter. Do you want to?
Another thing about debugging is we do have a bunch of different examples for how to start and write your own debugger, or debugging extension. It's actually pretty easy to get started with writing a simple debugging extension. So we do have our Node debugger is open source. Obviously, you can go and look at that, the Go debugger, and we do have a mock debugging example on our website that you can go and look at for our samples. And by the way, also our docs are open source. So as you're going through the website, if you feel like you need to update or change anything, please let show us there and we'll be able to update it.
Yeah, a lot of people will just take the examples we've got and customize them. PowerShell has debugging as well. F# has debugging.
Okay.
So yeah, there's
Go
a few out
and
there.
Chrome as
yep.
well.
The Chrome DevTools debugger.
Yep. Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we only have time for maybe one or two more questions, but I think this is a really good one from Johnny. Will Visual Studio Code ever run on a smartphone?
You know, there have been a number of questions about the experience. In many ways, it's actually a question for the Electron team. The shell that we use really determines the platforms that we run on. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent that Electron runs and is fully supported on other platforms, you'll find code probably moving to those platforms as well. But today, no plans for that. Like, we really think that almost everyone is doing their core in a loop of development on a machine, like a desktop-style machine or a laptop-style machine, on these three operating systems that we support. So again, it's another one where I say never say never, but really it's not in our plans today.
Okay.
We have web experiences, things like GitHub.
Sure.
Just doing one.
All right, so one more from Chris. Can code debug a Windows service project?
I guess it depends what the Windows service is written in, but the shortest answer will be no. Like today with the out-of-box support. We ship with debuggers out of the box for Node and for ASP.NET V5 mono debugging. Outside of that, we need extensions to get there, and you could write a Windows service in the .NET languages or VB or C and C++, and people just need to add that in.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of where the core CLR is and how we're debugging with that, but it depends on what you're writing the extension, but I can see that happening in the future.
Great. So I think the big recap from this little talk has been that if you have something you want to be able to do in code and you can't do it yet, just go write an extension and you can make it happen.
Contribute the core code back to us if we don't have an extension point. I mean, yep, there's a lot of opportunities.
All right, great. So kind of to recap what we talked about today, the big stuff was that Visual Studio Code is now open source. It's now in beta. We've got a new extensibility model. We've got probably about 100 more extensions since we started talking about this because they just keep coming. But it's getting even better and more powerful, you know, by the minute.
Yeah.
Sean, Sofyan, thank you guys so much for coming here and talking to me and showing us the demo. It was really good stuff. Everybody out there, thank you for watching. Go check out VS Code and give it a try.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.